is God's nutrients from heaven flows into this vehicle and then will start to supply your life. It will start to supply your finances. It will start to supply your health. It will start to supply every area of your life. And so, I really want to encourage you to take that next step, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe it is joining a team, or maybe it's just praying, being a faithful prayer person. You know, Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, faithful, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope, patient in your in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So I want to encourage you. Some people say, I remember about 10 years ago, I was praying, and then I said, Lord, send me to the world. And then he said, I want you to start traveling the world on your knees. And from that day, I would get a globe, and I would lay my hands on the globe, and I would just start to pray for nations. And I would pray, Jesus, bless this nation. Jesus, take away all the evil leadership here and bring godly leadership. Jesus, heal these people. Any persecuted Christians in this area of the world, Father, I ask, release them now in Jesus' name. Send your angelic assistance. Lord, touch these people, Father. Release your financial blessing onto this nation. And so, I really feel that, you know, Chris was just kindly sharing with me before the service a little bit about history about this place, this building. Was founded 113 years ago, 113 years or so ago. And you know what? Many people left this place to go all around the world into the nations from this house. How exciting is that? So what kind of a vehicle are we standing in right now is my question to you. This is a sending vehicle. This is a praying vehicle. This is a vehicle that God has anointed to touch nations. And you get to be a part of that vehicle. That is exciting. I don't know. I mean, that gets me so, so, so excited. It still burns the fire inside of me. So, tonight we're going to talk about God is good. God is good. God is very, very good. I was going to show a little video, a clip, a funny clip. I don't know if you want to show that now, or you may as well. You just to lighten the mood a little bit, go for it.
At first glance, taking this tomato down through these spinning fan blades may seem impossible, but I'm here to show you it's not. This must be done all in one motion. Okay, guys, watch me go to work.
Oh, how silly is that? How absolutely silly is that? He is okay. He made a second video after that, apparently. So, was that funny? You know, one thing it seems very random that to play a video like that after such a profound moment. I feel like in the spirit, but I think this is the antagonism. Antagonism of the kingdom, right? You have a bicep and you have a tricep. When the bicep is flexed, the tricep is relaxing. Sometimes we need to learn to relax a little bit. I heard this saying, many, many people have died on top of Mount Everest, you know, with all the desire to do something great. And then the bottom of it, it says, maybe we should just all calm down a little. And so we just need to relax, you know. So I want to encourage you. The kingdom of God is serious, because it's lives of people. It's winning people for Jesus. It's an eternity at stake for so many. But at the same time, we just got to relax, you know, and let heaven just flow. Just let it be. As I said earlier, tonight's message is about God is good. How much time do I have? Is it 30 minutes? Okay, brilliant. My first slide is I want to show you something about a guy named Polycarp. How many of you know Polycarp? Who knows Polycarp? Anybody? All right, it's kind of cut a few words off. I mean, Polycarp is quite a cool guy. He was basically one of John's disciples, or studied under John, who wrote the book of Revelation. And, you know, he was, you can't sit under a person like John who revelates an entire book in the Bible just called Revelation and not, like, have something happen to you, right? So this guy was just on fire for Jesus. I like to say that, on fire for the Messiah. Can you say that? On fire for the Messiah. And Polycarp, you know, he got to a point, he had a revelation of God's goodness that was so profound that here they said to him, if you do not deny Christ, we're going to throw you to the beasts. You know, it was very common for them to just throw people into an arena and have them eaten by animals, right? And they threatened him with that, and then he says, bring it on. He literally says, you know, he says, call them. He literally teases them. Says, call them. Call the beasts. I don't care. I'm so on fire for Jesus. And he's 86 years old, this man, at this point, right? And he says, call the beasts. I'm not afraid. So then they threaten him and they say to him, listen, if you don't turn away from Christ now, we're then going to burn you alive. So he says, bring it on again. Literally, he says, bring on whatever you want. And if you know the story, actually, what's recorded is that they do actually try to burn him to death. But the flames literally go around his body and he doesn't get consumed by the fire. To the point where they eventually like stabbed him with a sword, and that is actually how he died. They literally could not kill this guy in various different means. And so, you know, but what drove this man to the point of having such conviction? It was about that he was willing to face anything, willing to be faced by being mauled by animals, willing to be faced by, you know, to face flames. What possessed this man that would take him anywhere, make him do anything? And I want to suggest that it was this revelation that God is good. How can I turn away from somebody who has been so good to me? That's what he's saying. That's what Polycarp was saying. He's like, how can I turn away from someone that has been so good to me? He had a revelation of God's goodness. And so I feel that this right here, this message, is if you grab the supernatural nutrients in this message, it will elevate you. It will take you to places that you didn't even realize could be taken to, because of God's goodness is unlimited. It's unlimited. And so that's pretty powerful. I was thinking about over my life and before this message, what could I share with you? What can I share with you that could just encourage you about the goodness of God? I thought I would share one testimony that took place 2 weeks ago. So I was lying on my bed, and I was praying in tongues, and I fell asleep. And then all of a sudden, I was awoken by my phone vibrating quite close to my head on the bed. And so I pick it up, and it seems like a plus 32 number. And I'm staring, you know, blurry-eyed, looking at my phone. And I'm thinking, oh, man, somebody's trying to sell me something. And now they've woken me up. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me just answer this phone. So I answer the phone. Turns out, this lady says to me on the other side of the phone, says, is this Dodo Durante? I was like, yeah, it's Dodo Durante. What can I do for you? And I'm like quite short on the phone because I'm like quite tired. I'm like just blurry-eyed, just answering the phone. And then she says, I bought your book. And I thought, if I can just contact you, maybe you can help me. And I said, okay, what's the matter? So she said she was struck on the head by something and basically had experienced a head trauma. And because of this head trauma, she has started getting neurological symptoms all over her body. So bad that she shrunk down to 80 pounds in weight. And she was like a bag of bones, basically, lying in bed, completely immobilized for 6 years. Extreme 10 out of 10 pain in her body, neurological. All of it was neurological, so she didn't necessarily have anything wrong with her, but she was experiencing these neurological pains all over her body. And here she calls me and she says, I have been to every miracle healer in Europe. And she named all some of the top names to me. She said, I've been to this person and that person and this person and that person, and every single time it's been nothing. Nothing's happened, nothing. They pray for me and nothing happens. And I've been so disappointed. And I just thought, if I could just contact you. I read your book. I read about this Jesus, and I've read about how you just full of the Holy Spirit, and you know, and how, you know, when you walk in sonship, that you have access to God's power. And I thought, if I just call you, maybe something could happen. And And here I am, blurry-eyed, lying on my bed, listening to this woman, and I'm thinking, good Lord, like, how did I end up in this situation? And I'm thinking, I do not feel very holy right now. I'm feeling sleepy. I'm not feeling anointed. I've got no goosebumps on my body, you know. But this lady needs a miracle. This lady needs a miracle. And I'm her only hope that she's got right now. She's tried everything else and nothing else has worked. And I'm thinking, good Lord, this is a lot of pressure on the in the moment. So I said to her, you know what? I am going to pray for you. And so I got out of bed. I went downstairs. Felt no anointing, no power, nothing. We're not into feelings because we're not feelers. We're believers. So I think I said that last time I was here. We're not feelers. We're believers. It's like my little mantra. And so I began to pray for her, and I just began to speak to her body. I began to command healing, command you to be set free of this and that, and heal there, and those bones to correct themselves. And as I'm praying for her, I'm getting images. So the Holy Spirit is now participating with me, and he's telling me what I need to pray for. And as I'm commanding, I'm getting more pictures, and I'm seeing you've got this rib, these ribs that are deformed because of a spinal problem, and this and that. And as I'm saying them, I'm just praying. I say, I command those ribs to readjust. I command your body to readjust. And I'm speaking to her hips, and I'm saying, I command your hips to realign. And as I'm releasing these words, this woman starts to cry on the other side of the phone. And for the first time in 6 years, she's 100% pain-free and healed. Come on. Isn't that amazing? God is so good. So good. You know, I think of the story in John 5. Where the guy is standing at the pool of Bethesda, and angel would come and stir the waters, and then people would just rush past this guy the whole time, and they'd get into the water before him, and he was, completely overwhelmed by that, and he was just left on the side thinking to himself, man, I'm just never going to get this breakthrough. I'm just never going to get this breakthrough. And isn't it amazing? Jesus, of all the miracles, there probably were hundreds of people that were sick in that place, but we only have one story that is recorded, and that is this story of this man. Jesus comes, and he comes to touch this one man, and he comes to pray for this man, and actually gets a miracle. You know, sometimes we feel like we are so disconnected, but God is so good. He will bring supply. He will bring the breakthrough. He will bring what it is that is needed in your life. If you will just hang on, if you will just hold on, he will bring a breakthrough to you. He is so, so, so good. So I love Psalm 100 verse 5. It says, for the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you. So kind that it will astound you. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, it says, everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by by his divine power. Isn't that interesting? Is it behind me? I think these scriptures are up. They should be on there. It says everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Other translations say God by his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Isn't that so good? God is so good. He supplies every area of your life. It is true. And we're going to talk about something. I'm going to give you some keys a little bit later. Four things that if you add these to your life, you will draw the goodness of God into your life like you've never drawn before. And some of them are going to be obvious. So please take any religious mindset off. Because if you have a religious mindset, you'll go, oh yeah, put that into that box. You know, I know all about that. You can't lecture me on that. Don't do that. God's word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divide between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, testing the thoughts, the intents of your heart. Tonight, it's fresh. Pretend you never heard it before, because it's going to touch you. And so, we're going to talk about God is good. Is God's nature? I don't know if you can put that one up. Really, when we say God is good, we're not saying that God does good things. That's erroneous. And it's also erroneous for our Christian experience to say that we do good things. Good is just something we do as a byproduct of who we've become. as a new man in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. To, you know, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says that. But then later on, it then says in 21, if you put that up on the screen, it says, for God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, that so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. So when we say God is good, what he has done is actually put his nature inside of us. And his nature is good. So that I remember when I first got saved, I was a bad guy. I was a really bad guy. And then God saved me and my desires changed. And all of a sudden, it became natural for me to do good. I didn't try to do good to be good. I was good because he's good and he lives in me. It's not the other way around. And I think that's when we try to medicate our lives and we create a holiness. We create these things. There's a difference between holiness and righteousness. How many of you know that? I don't know if you ever made that distinction in your mind, but holiness is how I set myself apart for God. It's how I position myself for more of God. It's how I, you know, structure my life around pursuing God. All right, that's holiness. But then righteousness is my internal state of who I've now become. And this is what he's saying here. Paul is saying, you have become something brand new. You are a new creation. In fact, we can't even understand what you are. We just call it a creation because we don't even know what it is. You're some kind of supernatural human that has never, you know, you're God's DNA on the earth. You have a God's DNA inside of you. As soon as you receive Christ, you are a new creation, a new creature. If you read in the King James, it says you are a new creature. So what type of creature are you? Who are you? Who are you? I don't know who you are. Tell me who you are. You know, it's really interesting. And, you know, we see the goodness of God in this because Romans 5 verse 8, it says, but God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you and I were in our depravity, as it says in more theological terms, while we were in our lost state, when we were lost, he came and found us. He was willing to die for us without us even choosing him. Isn't that crazy? It's like, in Paul actually says it in another way. He says that we wouldn't even want to die for a good person. No one would want to even take a bullet for a good person, you know. You wouldn't dive in front of a bullet to save a good person. Yet Jesus was willing to take a bullet for a murderer. Jesus was willing to take a bullet for somebody who would stab him in the back the very next moment. Isn't that amazing? That's the Jesus we serve. That's how good he is. He is so good, it blows our minds. He's so good, it's outside of our atmosphere. And I think we're trying to conceptualize it. This is not intellectual. We're not trying to be intellectually conceptualizing who God is. What we're doing is adding our faith to it. We're saying, Jesus, I take that. As simple as that. Faith is just like, I take that. That's mine. I'm going to have that. I'm going to have that. Jesus died on a cross. I'm going to have that. I'm going to have that. That's going to be mine. Jesus healed the sick. You shall do greater things than he, than what Jesus did, right? John 14, verse 12. So you would do the works that I've done. And greater things than these will you do, because I'm going to go to my Father and I'm going to give the Holy Spirit to you. So that is amazing. So that same Holy Spirit is inside of you and now is starting to reproduce God's DNA and nature inside of you, which is good. And that good nature heals. That good nature reaches out and touches the lost. That good nature influences society and impacts nations. And so that is who you are. That is truly who you are. You know, and I love it. I've gotten so beyond my feelings that I know that my feelings are a lie. My feelings are just a pure lie. And if I will look past my feeling and pursue actually what God says, there's going to be a great result. So I'm going to give you those four keys very soon. So don't worry. Romans 11, 29 should be up on the screen as well. For the gifts and the calling of God, irrevocable. In other translations, it says without repentance. Isn't that so good? That's how good God is. Even when you weren't a Christian, he deposited gifts inside of you. Bill Gates has gifts. Without Jesus, he still has gifts. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't even have to repent and give his life to Jesus to have the gifts because God is so good that he will still give the gifts to you whether you choose him or don't choose him. That is blows my mind. God is so much bigger. He's so good. Number two, good is a lens that you look through. So, you know, Once you know that God is good, the yo-yo Christianity stops. When you know that God is good and his nature is good, guess what? You can connect your faith to something that's immovable. And as soon as you know he's good, let's say, for example, you hit financial crisis. What do? You start laughing. You start laughing. Why? I remember when I lost a really big contract. I'm the sole provider of my house, got three kids and all of that. I lost a contract. It was a serious, serious, dire situation. And I remember just, there was this moment where I started to laugh. It was so bad. You know, when things get so bad, you just have to laugh. And it got so bad, and I laughed. And I said, God, I must be due for an upgrade. I must be due for an upgrade, because nothing touches my life without upgrading me. Even if it's sickness, I will come out of this sickness, because the Bible says the righteous man goes through many trials, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I will come out of this, and guess what? I'm going to get an upgrade when I get out of here, because I'm going to heal more sick people than I've ever healed in my life. I'm going to touch more people for Jesus when I get out of this situation than I've ever touched in my life. And I want to tell you that the goodness of God will release a lion spirit inside of you. I love it. Proverbs 28 verse 1, that the righteous are as bold as a lion. You're bold as a lion. We talked about that new nature in Christ, the righteousness that we said earlier. Jesus took our old nature and gave us a new nature in Christ as a righteous, as bold as a lion. And so I want to tell you that the goodness of God is going to release a fire inside of you, and I hope it does. If you look at David, he was stuck in a cave with like 400 men, 400 discontented men in debt and distress. Ladies, how many of you want to be in a room like that? You know, assassins are hunting him down. He's like completely down and out. And then God, it says that God developed these men in the lockdown and delivered to them all that they had lost. So God is that good. God is so good that he will, whatever you feel like you've lost in your life, if it's time, if it's money, if it's relationships, if it's whatever it is, God can bring a deliverance to you. God can bring something to you to replace that. And it will be an upgrade, because he is that good. And Psalm 27 actually shows the key, one of the keys. And this is what David said. I believe. I don't know if that scripture is up there. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not in heaven. You know, we quote Ephesians 1 verse 3, you know, that all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That sounds lovely, but they're up there. You know, I need them down here. And David said, no. I believe I'm going to have it now in this life. The goodness of the Lord is going to chase me down now. And I want to encourage you to have that same fervor. My Father loves me. He's good. He's so good. He's beyond my goodness level. He breaks my goodness measure. You know, he pops the lid off of my box called that I think is his ending point of his goodness. He is bigger than I could ever imagine. All right, so here we go. I'm going to tell you now how you can participate in God's goodness. All right, so we've got an image for you here. And this is how we put, I believe. This is what I felt the Holy Spirit give to me before tonight to show you. So the goodness of God is actually, there are four key legs to this goodness of God. Please, don't let religion block your mind in this moment. Don't say, I know what this is. No. Come on. There's a revelation to be had here tonight. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Come on. So the first thing is, let's start with the word. All right. He who meditates on the word day and night shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, who yields its fruit in season. Whatever he does prospers. Psalm 1. That's proof that when we meditate on God's word, we make it the source, make it primary, that it will start to nourish us. It'll plant us by streams of living water. The word of God is an integral part of our day-to-day life. If we don't know the word, guess what? You are limited in your ability to extract the goodness of God into your life. You won't know the promises that are applied to you as a child of God. So we have to know what God has put in here as a promise to you and I that we can have. Speech. This is so powerful. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So what do you want to eat? Jesus said in Mark 12:21, he said, you know, that which you say you shall have. So isn't that powerful? That actually, if God's true nature, his creative power and his goodness lives inside of you, what happens when you open your mouth? That's interesting. Because we love to say, oh, you know, God is all powerful, God is all that. But what if he wants to make you his channel? What if your mouth is his channel into the earth? What if you are the conduit between heaven and earth? And he's just waiting for you to say something. And we always say, no, you know, because the thing is, if we shafted onto God, it wasn't God's will, then I could have said on the phone to that lady, you know, I don't really feel the anointing. It's obviously not God's will. And that lady would have left with pain, 6 years of excruciating pain. But I didn't do that. I went down and I prayed for her. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. I want to speak. I begin to speak to her problem. I'm telling her problem what I wanted to do. Pain, go. Body, heal. Bones, move. Sickness, go. I'm speaking to her problem. And God wants to use your mouth. And that may even be prayer. You know, like I said earlier, travel the world on your knees. Pray for the city. Pray for Chris and Rachel as they lead. You know, pray. Be faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12. Faith. And put faith in action. You know, I think a lot of times that we say, oh, if I had enough faith, I would do something. But actually, faith is the action. Many times that I've experienced is faith is action. So I feel nothing, but I am going to put my hands on that person, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to command that sickness to go. I'm going to command that body to heal. And faith is often, that mustard seed that you need is literally doing this. Do you know the word doubt in the Greek is actually the word hesitate? So if I'm not sure, you just doubted. So faith is, oh, yep, let's get in there. Let's, you know, we need somebody to serve in hosting. Oh, yep, that's me. I'm there. You know, we're going to do a renovation to the building and we need a little bit of money financially. Oh, yeah, I'm there. No hesitation. That's faith. Faith is the ability to not hesitate. It's the ability to just step in and take something. And then lastly, obedience. So, you know, what I love about these are very, very key ways that we can actually participate. And obedience is now the Holy Spirit element. I like to think of the obedience as the Holy Spirit element. Because the Holy Spirit's going to prompt your heart. He's going to say, I want you to do this. I want you to pray for that person. I want you to give that amount of money. I want you to do this or that. To give you an example, I had a situation recently. We were financially, we shouldn't have been giving finances. But I just said, you know what? I'm going to give. And we're going to give big. We're going to give big. And how could I have the audacity, as a sole provider, lots of responsibility, how could I have the audacity to go to my wife and say, we're going to give big? You know, it's nuts. People would think that's absolutely mental. And so I just said, you know what? No, we're going to do it. And then I read the word of God, and I got a scripture connected to it. Because you don't just do things stupidly. It's all four of these legs support the goodness of God. I have to operate in this framework if I want to see the goodness of God come through. But it will take faith and obedience. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to give. So now I'm in this leg over here, and I'm like, okay, let me go to the word. Let me make sure this obedience step I'm about to take is in the word somewhere before I do something silly. And now it's time for me to actually make an action. I need to make a financial transaction on Barclays.co.uk. I got to go on there, and I got to make a financial transaction. And then I'm going to pray over that. And I'm going to say, you know what? There. That's where I stand on this specific subject. And we did it. Not even 24 hours, that money was back in my account. 4 days later, same amount of money was deposited into my account 4 days later. So I doubled my investment. And this last week, we did exactly the same thing again. And guess what? Double the investment. I kid you not. God says, test me in this. If you do not know the word, you will never, and you don't take action to the word, and you don't speak the word, and you do not, and you're not obedient to the word, I'm telling you now, you will always live a limited life. You will never access this thing called the goodness of God, because he operates under a supernatural set of principles that when you obey these things, God's goodness flows into your life. It's like super. It's like code. It's like you. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind, and it will never make sense. Where logic ends, faith begins. And so, when you now start to take action on the word of God, you start to see results, results, results. And God said, "Test me in this." We like, you know, often say, "Oh, I don't want to test God," but God says, "Test me in this. Let me show you that, will I not open the windows of heaven? Will I not pour out a blessing you cannot contain?" Ooh. It's so challenging. But I love it. I absolutely love it. Because when you can touch something and see a result that is unequivocally God, then you know you touched heaven. And I love that. I want to live in that world. I want to live in that constant world of seeing God move beyond the natural. And you can do the same. We're all the same. We all have access to the same daddy. And he's just that good. It's a revelation of his goodness. What did Joshua, what happened with Joshua? Joshua and Caleb came back with what? A good report. You probably can put the one on where, what is your report? It's the one of the picture of the giants. But yeah, it's the one just after the table picture. And so what is your report? When God asks you to take a step of faith, what is your report? You know, do you come back with a negative report? You know, financially, you look at your bank balance and fear hits your heart. Ugh, there's a contraction. Or if you know the goodness of God, you step out. God is good. Yes. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich for what the Lord has done for me. What the Lord has done for me. It's not a super thing. It's a supernatural thing. God wants to bring his super into the natural. And it's going to come through you and I as we are obedient to his word. As we step out and we speak it and we do what we can do, how we participate with God. I don't know if you all got a photo of that picture, but it was faith, obedience, the word, and speaking it out. And then as you saw here, you know, the first thing that God did in his goodness to Joshua, can you imagine, this guy's inherited 3 million people in the middle of a desert who are completely obstinate, murmuring, saying, listen, just appoint a leader to go back to Egypt now. Like, that's literally, if you read Numbers 13, 14, Deuteronomy 31, and you read Joshua chapter 1, this guy's got a problem. You know, this is not a nice, you don't want to be handed 3 million people that are really difficult. And what does God do in his goodness? And this is what God wants to do with you and me every day. He wants to address the lie first. He wants to address a lie. God says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am not that. I'm not bad. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm better than you could ever imagine. I'm going to be good to you. Obey my word. Do what I say. I promise you it's going to work out for your good. Meditate on God's word. So what does he do? He shifts his belief system. Maybe some of us need to shift our belief system. Shift our belief system. What could God do in this community? What's the potential here? What could God potentially do here that would transform this city, that could impact and send people to nations like it has happened from this very location? It just excites me. Consecrate yourselves. It means to focus yourself. Focus. Focus yourself, because I'm going to do mighty works among you. Is the rest of that scripture. And I want to encourage you, the same thing for you. The reason I'm here is because God wanted me to deposit a seed. Now that seed doesn't look natural necessarily, but it is a supernatural seed. It's a supernatural seed that will consecrate you for the good works that God wants to do, mighty works. Follow his presence. That seems obvious, right? And see, I've given them. Take action. Take action. See, I've given them to you, guys. Just go. Take the land, take the land, take the land, take New Malden, take New Malden. Come on, you got this. We don't have a big enough building. We don't have enough finances. We don't have that. We start to look at the giants. And what's your report going to be? what's your report going to be? Is it good? Is the land good? Is there abundance here? Yeah, there will be abundance and there will be giants. But one sees giants and one sees the goodness of God. One sees the goodness of God. We can take this. We've got this. And then lastly, just two encouraging things for you. It's Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call to me and I will show you great and unsearchable things. So if you feel completely visionless, completely hopeless, like you've got nothing, God in his goodness says this to you tonight. Don't run to the phone, run to the throne. Right? Don't run to the phone, run to the throne. Don't call your neighbor, don't call your family, don't call your, call Jesus. Call Jesus. I will show you. Isn't that a promise? I will show you. I will show you. The only thing we've got to do is call. And then he says, I will. I will. I won't, maybe. Maybe I'll show you. If I think you're good enough. Or if I think you've been good enough, like Santa. You know, then maybe I'll give you a gift. No, no, no. That's not how our daddy works. That's not how our daddy works. He's better than that. He's good. He says, call to me and I will show you great, 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 above average, great. Not average things for New Malden. Not average things for your life. Great things for your life. If you call to me and I will show you, they're unsearchable. That's the most amazing thing about this verse, in my opinion, is it's they're unsearchable. It means that you, in your carnal mind, you cannot access them. In your carnal mind, you cannot see them. They're passing you by every single day. That person that you walk past in Tesco is supposed to be born again and saved. But you didn't ask. You didn't call to him to show you what great and unsearchable thing are you carrying in you. Maybe you are carrying a seed of the evangelistic power that has never seen, that this earth has never seen before. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, one of the most anointed evangelists of our time, I think he was started his ministry like 46 or something. You know, and he died at 86, I believe. He lived a full life. He lived a powerful life. He lived an anointed life. But he wasn't in the carnal mind. And the one thing I know about Smith Wigglesworth is he spent time in the Word of God. If anybody knew the Word, it was that man. He knew the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, he kept searching. He kept calling unto God, show me, Lord, show me, Lord, show me, Lord. And God used him mightily. Every single one of us can be lit up with the fire of the Holy Spirit and transform Tesco. I was in Holland and Barrett, and I see legs grow out in Holland and Barrett. I prayed for a lady when I get lunch, and her leg grew out while I was praying, just getting lunch the other day. You know, it doesn't matter where you go. You are a supernatural human plugged into a supernatural vehicle, connected to some supernatural source that it wants to touch your life and wants to impact the people that are around you. The word ethnos in Matthew 28, verse 20, I think it is talking about your sphere of influence. Who are you connected to that you can maybe just reach out and touch? You can pray. You can do something. You can build God's church. Come on, we can all do this. And, you know, really, that is all. That's all I wanted to share with you today. And I hope that was encouraging. Was it encouraging? So everyone still with me? everything you're going to have from God is in seed form. So don't be discouraged. He, you know, in his goodness, he's deposited seed in you. Don't look at my orange juice in the area of healing and go, oh, I don't have orange juice. But that's okay. Start here. Today, there's a whole bunch of seed that was thrown on your heart today about his goodness, about how you could face life and your circumstances. There were seeds deposited in your heart today. Let the Holy Spirit nurture that into a tree. And at some point, you're going to become a refreshing to somebody else. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's okay. It's okay. And there's a grace on every one of us to accelerate that journey. So don't worry about, I don't have enough time, or I don't have enough this or that or whatever. Just be faithful with that seed. Let me pray for us. Is that okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, Lord, that is true. Father, we thank you that your word is alive and it is active. We don't need to make it alive. We do not need to make it active. And as we've heard it tonight, Father, send your word into our hearts deeper than they could ever go, where no man could reach. Germinate that seed, Father, and develop those trees. Holy Spirit, I ask for a holy fire on every life right now, right here. Whatever the enemy has used to connect himself to you, I say be disconnected from his lies in Jesus' name. Right now, I ask for an unlimited potential right now just to enter every heart and mind. All things are possible to him who believes. Father, I ask for that verse now to take our hearts. Father, we call to you. We ask you to show us great and unsearchable things for our personal lives. Great and unsearchable things for this church. And build your kingdom here. We ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask angels be dispatched immediately around every individual in this room. Right now, around their families, around their finances, around every area of influence. Send your angels, Lord, around them. Your mighty ministers who do your word. Send them now, Father, around every person, especially this house, this church. Thank you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.